Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh, this is, do I always say this? Oh, this is amazing. No, this one's amazing. Like my heart is pounding. I'm so glad you guys are tuning in right now. I'm going to start this one with one of the most classically inspirational speeches in movie history. All right. Okay. Wherever you are right now, see if you can name it. If you're in the car, call it out. I don't care if you're alone or with your kids or whatever. If you're running or working out, scream it out. Okay. Ready? Okay, I'm going to try and do this justice. You're 5 foot nothing, 100 and nothing, and you have barely a speck of athletic ability, and you hung in there with the best college football players in the land for 2 years, and you're going to walk out of here with a degree from the University of Notre Dame. In this life, you don't have to prove nothing to nobody but yourself. And after what you've gone through, if you haven't done that by now, it ain't never going to happen. Now, go on back. Okay, I heard some of you got it. Yes, it's the monologue by the groundskeeper in Rudy, the true story of Rudy Rudiger, a kid from Joliet, Illinois, who harbored dreams of playing football at the University of Notre Dame despite significant obstacles. I mean, you just heard about some of the physical obstacles he faced. And by the way, when Fortune, that was the name of the groundskeeper, said 5 foot nothing, Rudy's 5'6". Okay, that's about an inch shorter than I am. But how about one of 14 kids from a family with very little money? And perhaps more importantly, he struggled with undiagnosed dyslexia all the way through high school. So his grades were nowhere near commensurate with Notre Dame's benchmarks for acceptance, let alone scholarships. So how did that kid not only scratch and claw his way to a Notre Dame education, and perhaps the bigger miracle, land a position on one of the most prestigious college football teams in history? It is a story that darn well better make you realize it is not the size of the dog in the fight, it's the size of the fight in the dog. Here to open his playbook on how he did it is the 5 foot nothing, 100 and nothing man himself, Rudy Rudiger. Rudy, thank you for speaking to my listeners. This is incredible. I lived and died by this movie throughout my career, always drawing upon it when I'd get the big nose. It's the 30th anniversary of the movie's release. I'm so glad that I have your voice here today. I mean, 30 years have gone by really quickly, I would imagine.
Well, time is, it just, you can't replace time. It just goes. They're doing a new director's cut of Rudy.
Oh.
On November 14th, they're coming out with it. And it's all the scenes that we cut out. And I think it's a better movie now.
Oh.
Because of all the relationships that they cut out that are important.
The writer took poetic license with the portrayal of some of the characters. We'll get to that throughout the podcast. And there's some fascinating ones. But let's talk about the main theme. And that was your near obsession, even as a kid in Joliet, of attending Notre Dame. What was it about the Fighting Irish that made you want so badly to attend?
It wasn't an obsession. It was a purpose. And there's a big difference between a purpose and an obsession.
Okay.
Purpose was to show my family that we belong there too. Because people say we don't belong there because we're not the gifted. So you can't go to Notre Dame because only gifted kids go there. Gifted athletes go there and rich kids go there.
So tell me what it's like to be one of 14 kids in the 70s.
Blue collar family, 14 kids. You go to work, you come home, you come back home, you go back to work, you come back home, go to work. Weekends, you got to go to church or play Little League or you do whatever you need to do. But when you come home, you don't do really homework. You got to do chores and you got to go outside. And you have to play sports because of all the kids in the house, go out and play. Only come in when dinner's ready. And you really didn't have time to do homework, and nor did I care about homework because I didn't understand school, but I understood sports. Now, here's the saving grace about everything. And it all comes down to one thing, who you put yourself around and where you put yourself at to understand who you are, because we all want to be somebody. And unfortunately, sometimes we get stuck. We don't know what to do, and we get stuck in this thing. I can't succeed because I'm not good looking. I'm too short. I'm not fast enough. I'm not smart enough. Whatever they tell you, you start believing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And to that end, the movie focused a lot on your dad, who did that blue collar. He was played by Ned Beatty. He seemed like a less than supportive force when it came to your quest to attend college.
It wasn't a lesson. He didn't understand it. He couldn't comprehend it. Because how could we even think we can go to Notre Dame? Because his mind was driven by certain people that only smart kids go to Notre Dame. And he saw my grades. He saw how I performed in school. He just didn't want to see me get hurt. Mm. Or he didn't want to see me go after something I could never achieve. And that was his biggest feeling, was protecting you. He was more of a protector than someone saying you can't do it. He wanted you to do it, but he just couldn't comprehend. How could you dream that big when you can't even go there? How could this happen? It all came down to really four things. I knew how to contribute. That was the big key. Contribute to something that I just want to be part of. Then because you have that contribution attitude, you align yourself with some good people that want you to win. Now, you're going to have entitled people along the way that doesn't want you to win, that thinks you're just a pain in the butt. Why are you here? You know, so you're going to get your nose, you're going to get your rejection. But the rejection is what put that chip on my shoulder. And the regrets that I had made me work even harder, because when we live in regret, man, we just drown ourselves in sorrow. Mm. So don't live in regret.
Oh, yeah. You know? You had dyslexia, which was undiagnosed.
Well, dyslexia is, a lot of us have it, in fact. There's a lot of great leaders that have it that we realize.
Of course.
From presidents to actors to athletes to, they have it. They have a learning disorder. You have to learn differently. And you don't sometimes learn by the book. You learn through hands-on. You learn through audio technique, comprehension of people.
But your school did not, your high school didn't recognize it. Your middle school didn't.
No, and that's the way they were taught to teach that way.
What was that sort of moment where you have the aha, you know, peanut butter and the chocolate moment, I'm going to apply to Notre Dame?
Remember the word I used earlier, regret? Don't live in regret?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We all live in regret, most of us. Mm-hmm. We never try our goals or our dreams because we don't want to fail. We don't want to be put down. That's where you're wrong. Don't be afraid to take that step and have people criticize you. Criticism is a strength. You use criticism to build you. You don't have to get mad at criticism. I mean, constructive criticism is good, but there are people out there just going to wail on you only because they don't like you. Well, that's normal. That's typical. So those are the people you don't want to talk to anyhow. So you just eliminate them real quick, right?
Notre Dame rejected you, your first shot.
They rejected me only because I didn't have the grades. I'm going to have the credentials. But here's the key. Remember I told you when my friend died at the power plant?
In the movie, sure.
That was the ha-ha moment I gave myself up to God. And I said, let God. This is, life is time. It's short. It happened. Bing, bam, you're done, right? I can't live like this. I can't live in regret. Just like my friend said, don't live in regret, Rudy. Go after your dream. But I can't because I'm not that. Rudy, just do it. You'll find a way. He always believed in that. And when he died, because he took a shortcut with his job and his life, ended his life, he did live in regret because he was doing something he didn't want to do. He would rather be something else, but he never was that because he got stuck. So he says to me, don't get stuck, brother. You're too young. Go. Just go and find out what you need to do. And that's what resonated in that moment. His death kind of catapulted me into that moment.
Holy Cross did take you. And you saw that as sort of a way, maybe through a side window eventually to Notre Dame. But then time and time again, throughout those first couple of years at Holy Cross, you put yourself in a very uncomfortable position. You kept applying to Notre Dame. I mean, listen, Rudy, I was a two-time Stanford reject. I was like, okay, second time, I'm getting the message. Why didn't you just give up?
Because, okay, I hope you understand this when I say this. All right. It wasn't about grades to me. It was about understanding what you had to do in order to get to Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. See, when I showed up at junior college, there was only, now, just think about this. I would never have known about that junior college if I didn't leap out on faith after my friend died. I went to South Bend immediately after his death to find out what's driving me towards this school? What is this? Right? Well, when I stepped on campus, I knew I belonged there. This is where I belong. This is where I'm going. But the other side of it, oh my God, now you got to get there academically and financially. How are you going to do that? I didn't even think about the obstacles. I went to the junior college, was right across from Notre Dame, and it only had 100 kids there. So the little brother there was in the Navy, and I was in the Navy, so we had a relationship. And we never talked about our past or how bad our grades were, so we could develop a game plan, which he did.
Awesome.
And I wanted, he said, 4 semesters here, no negotiation. We'll get you 4 semesters. You can take parallel courses with the university. Then if you do well and you show us you could do the work in the classroom, we'll endorse you, and 100% of our kids go there if we recommend them. Ah. And that gave me hope. All right. Now, but I also had to apply every year to find out, because I also wanted to play football, and Notre Dame, they don't take junior walk-ons at Notre Dame. They just don't. I said, well, that's an obstacle.
Well, the clock is ticking. For people who don't know what walk-on means, it means you were not recruited from some unbelievably amazing high school with a great statistics sheet, right? And so you just go on there and have to prove yourself on the field.
Well, but remember the word I used earlier, contribute? That was my goal, to contribute, not to be a star, mm-hmm. not to be a starter, but contribute to a tradition that meant so much to my father and family. Notre Dame gave us hope when they won, and I wanted to find out what all that meant, if that makes sense.
Yes. This is Everyone Talks to Liz, and we will be right back.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Now, bring us back to the moment when, after multiple attempts and then rejections from Notre Dame, you held your last shot at getting into Notre Dame in your hand. You're holding the unopened letter from the admissions office. Describe your emotion and your heartbeat before you opened that letter.
Oh boy, it was thick, so I knew I was good.
It's the olden days.
If it was thin, you're not going, right? I received a couple of those already. But the thick letter means there's good news in there. So that was exciting, but you still had to read it. And we shot it exactly where I showed that letter.
Really?
To my tutor. Yes. We shot the actual scene where I showed my tutor my acceptance letter. So I wanted to bring that moment back. So that was a great moment. And again, the disappointment. Now, when my family saw a letter from Notre Dame, they didn't know it was a rejection or an acceptance. They really didn't understand what I was doing, but they knew I was up in South Bend going to school.
Mm-hmm.
And they thought it was Notre Dame all the time, in a way. Yeah. Listen, my mother was so busy taking care of the kids, and my dad's working three jobs. He don't have time, basically. You know, it's a tough deal.
Sure.
But I wanted to give them that joy and that moment of hope. That's what I fought for, more the feeling and the hope, more than football. But football, too, was part of it, because why not?
That was then the Mount Everest part two that you had to climb. Getting in was part
really,
one.
You know, it was interesting because it's not a Mount Everest town. Let me clarify that. When you come onto that football team, there's 85 scholarships, and there's maybe five walk-ons. And they really don't want you part of this because you're kind of like in their way. But if you become a contributor,
right,
and that's all I wanted was a chance, because Eric Parsegian, when I met him for the first time at 6 a.m. in the morning.
He was the coach.
He was in the Navy. I was in the Navy. We had a little bit of an understanding of who we were.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically said, you come and see me when you get in. Because he understood what I went through in order to be a veteran, and he's a veteran. So saying all that, that helped making that decision during the Vietnam War to go into the Navy and join up, because it really straightened me out, the Navy. My mindset straightened me out, because I had nothing but positive reinforcement
mm-hmm.
all the way through the military, of building my mindset, building me up, making me looking at myself differently. So that all had to play a part in when I made that decision.
Yep.
Go up to Notre Dame, because now I'm ready mentally, but now I have to perform and do the work. That was the challenge. And that's where you get your little moments of, I call God wings. People come into your life to help you. The tutor helped me understand how to do the work, and then he helped me do other things at Notre Dame that helped me organize my work. So that all helped, where the athletes had tutors. I had to go find my own tutor. Well, that tutor just happened to show up in my dorm where we lived at St. Joe Hall, and they put the Holy Cross students in there. They picked Holy Cross students that were basically the kids that were on the just on the edge of getting to Notre Dame, maybe they need a little more work.
Okay.
Well, that wasn't me. I needed a lot of more work, you know. But because of the relationships I built with the admissions, because every time I did get turned down, I didn't say, why did I get turned down? What more do I need to do?
Uh-huh. That's key. That's key.
No, it is, because they really appreciated that, and they saw you do the work. Now, what else do I need to do? And when you do the work, what can they say when you achieve it, right? But you're getting a lot of help and a lot of empowerment along the way. So my point was, getting to Notre Dame was the challenge academically.
Mm-hmm.
Football was kind of like, okay, that now I can do that. I can go to practice. I can contribute. I know I'm not going to start for you, but I thought like a starter. That was a big difference too. I thought like, so I go to practice and worked hard and got better each day. And that became a real big deal to them. When they saw you working hard and they saw that you did get better in a lot of different, because really you're an older guy now, you're a veteran, but you're getting better at the drills. You're getting better. Not that they're going to start you, but they see your progress. But they also see how people are starting to get involved with you.
Yes.
Kind of engaging in your spirit, from coaches to players. Not all of them, just certain ones. And when that happens, that brings a chemistry to that football team and to the culture of that team. And that's what Eric saw, was character, and courage. And you have to be a little bold to do what you do. He saw all that. And when you do that, that means a lot to that coach, because he knows, if I can get my players to be like Rudy, wow, what can we do?
Mm.
Right?
Yeah. So Ara Parseghian, the head coach of Notre Dame, really was there. He understood you. Like you say, you know, you guys had a connection. He had been in the Navy. You were in the Navy. But then Parseghian retires, and you had to start your charm offensive all over again with new coach Dan Devine, who had been a head coach, for those of you who don't know, for the Green Bay Packers. Here's where Hollywood and the real Rudy
Hollywood
story diverged.
Yeah.
Let me just say, because in the movie, Devine is made out to be a mean and hard-hearted, absolutely not Rudy coach when it came to letting you on the field. But that wasn't the true story.
Dan Devine was also in the Army, so he loved the fact that I was a veteran, and he understood that. But he had to also do a couple things. He had to win football games. I was not the guy for him to win football games. And Notre Dame's a very, I don't know, how could you say this without prestigious, entitled, some of the kids, right? And but there's kids there that really work hard and deserve. There's a lot of Rudies there that you don't know that are there. They're there because they're working hard. They don't have all the skill and talent, but they work hard.
This is Everyone Talks to Liz, and we will be right back. Every game, there's something called the dress list, and you kept looking on that list, and you hadn't made it until when?
Okay. Remember, that dress list was cut by 50 kids. When Ara was coaching, he could dress all the seniors, because he made that commitment to all the seniors, you would dress for your final home game.
Right.
Now Devine can't do that because the NCAA did not allow it. So, and I look at that dress list thinking, maybe they'll change their mind. But, you know, it took the captain of the Notre Dame football team to go into Coach Yonto, our defensive coach, who I was part of their culture, and went in and said, we should have Rudy dress because some of the guys that we dress won't play anyhow, that already have dressed. So let Rudy dress because he's a veteran and he really worked hard, and not that the other kids didn't, but they just thought I was the guy that they wanted to dress. Mm-hmm. They respected the work ethic. Not that the other kids didn't have it, which they did. But, you know, it's that relationship you had. So, anyhow, they went into Coach Yonto. He goes to Coach Devine. And that's when they were going to surprise me, that they were going to dress me for the game. Well, in the meantime, I kind of didn't want to go to practice. I mean, I was kind of like, okay. I had a little pity party in the pity moment.
You're allowed.
Yeah, and that's where I saw the janitor, who didn't give the speech the way you saw it in the movie, but gave a better speech in reality with blue-collar words, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. Rudy, you're on the field, and you crush it on your last play. You actually sack the Georgia Tech quarterback. Oh my God, that's incredible. And that's this moment where everybody's hearts fill up.
Well, it's not even about the tackle.
Right.
It's not even about that. It's about how many people want that moment, one moment in time. Just give me one moment to step on that field. One moment to be at bat at Yankee Stadium. You know, that type of feeling. That's what that feeling. But most people quit for that moment, because they quit working. They don't think it's going to happen. I kept going to practice like it was going to happen. I kept preparing myself like I am going to play. And when that moment happened, I was ready, only because of preparation.
And previous rejections.
Well, the rejection is what built that attitude.
Yeah.
I, getting up. You know how life hits you right in the square in the jaw, right in the mouth. Well, you get back up and go keep moving. You have to, because life is not fair.
Well, your experience is such a life lesson, Rudy. Okay, because somebody, you, on the surface, did not appear to have natural-born talent, whether it was athletic or artistic or musical, whatever talent. They can still make their dream come true. But let's talk about those who, on the surface, have the gifts and the potential, but they waste it because they lack the persistence gene. Do people give up too early in their pursuits?
Well, yes, and only because they're not developing that mindset. It's all about that. You have to still be a Rudy. You got to dig. You got to work. You got to get back up. I say a Rudy. When people, the name Rudy means persevere, right?
Yes.
Means a lot more to people than just Rudy. Rudy means something to them. And I see that all the time with people. I was at the Notre Dame USC game. This lady shows up with a Rudy shirt from Texas. I said, sure. She said, well, I made this up just so you could see I'm a lawyer. I said, oh, that's awesome. She said, I went to law school because of your movie.
Oh.
I said, wow. And then you meet the late Kobe Bryant, and he the movie launched him into the NBA because he identified with the hard work ethic and getting better. What the skill and talent he had. If I applied myself like Rudy did, where would I be like 20 years from? And that's what the coaches were saying
right
on that football field. If you guys worked as hard as Rudy, look where we would be, you know?
Okay, that's the crux. I want everybody who's listening right now to absorb that. Rudy, Notre Dame altered your life path. To me, the ultimate symbol in many ways, from the movie at least, was that helmet, that gold helmet. And yet, a couple of years ago, I'm in Houston covering the Super Bowl for Fox Business.
Oh, yeah, right.
And we had a sports memorabilia auctioneer on, and he brings a bunch of items, and there's your helmet. Can I just ask why'd you auction that off?
Because it was for charity. And I didn't have anything to give him for charity but a helmet. I said, well, if it's for charity, I'll give you a helmet I wore. I mean, that has to mean something. If it helps people, let's do it. It's just sitting in my house.
You know? How much did it go for? Do you remember?
$241,000.
Whoa! Who bought it? Did you ever find out?
Yeah, the guy who bought it used the movie every Thursday night with his team. They were world travel. They were having company issues, and the movie brought them to a billion-dollar company.
Oh, the Rudy effect.
Well, it's about attitude. It's about believing, right? We got to work as a team, and no matter what obstacles out, you can't see that. You got to attack them as they come. Don't look for them. They're already there. They may not show up. You understand? And so that's the guy who bought it.
Tell me what you're doing these days.
Speaking. I do a lot of speaking.
Motivational.
When people say motivational, I'm not a motivational speaker. I'm more like, I hope I inspire you. I can't motivate you. Only you can motivate yourself. But if I can inspire you to motivate yourself, that's the key, you know? And that's what the movie Rocky did for me and inspired me to go after this message of this journey I went through to do this movie. And I went out to Hollywood, pitching the movie, pitching the story for 10 years. And finally, common people helped me get it done. And that tells me a lot about you never know who knows to get to where you need to go, but you can't give up on something that you believe in and that you feel. No different. I think it was harder making a movie than going to Notre Dame.
That's Hollywood. Oh, Rudy, yeah. Thank you so much for telling your story and giving us the inside background and all of the details. I can't wait for the director's cut. OMG, I'm so excited.
Yeah, you'll love it. And there's a lot of commentary with David and Angelo, so listen to them. I think it's the featurettes on it.
Director,
but
writer.
I'm very excited about it because 30 years, they're going to come back out with Rudy. I love it.
Oh, me too. Rudy Rudiger. If you haven't seen the movie, you guys better go see it. Grab it. It's everywhere. I mean, come on, cable. It's on streaming. Just sit down, watch it. I showed it to my children. I said, if this kid could do it, you can conquer anything, okay? Never say die. Much appreciated.
Oh, you too. Can I give you one last story?
Please.
Okay. There was a young man that came up to me in a wheelchair at a speech in Pittsburgh. He's a cerebral palsy kid, and his mother says he had a dream to go to Notre Dame and just go to the 50-yard line where Rudy played. He can't talk, he can't walk, but he's in his wheelchair. And I said, well, what happened? He said, Rudy, he's the only human being that ever crawled to the 50-yard line, bloody knees and all. I said, you kidding me? I said, yeah, they wouldn't let him go on the field in his wheelchair. So he just jumped out and crawled to the 50-yard line. That's what I'm saying. He did not allow anybody to steal his dream. What a great story that was.
Yeah, you know, now I'm getting emotional. Oh, that's a perfect way to end it. Thank you, Rudy. God bless. Thank you so much.
Appreciate taking me. Talk to you soon.
I have no words left, you guys. You know what you just heard. You understand and absorb exactly that story. Tell everyone they need to listen to this episode of Everyone Talks to Liz, because who knows the mountains that all of you can climb. I'll see you next week. Want to listen ad-free? You can do it with a Fox News Podcasts Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And then Amazon Prime members, you can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app.
I'm Charles Payne. Listen to my Unstoppable Prosperity podcast so I can get you making money right now. Whether stocks are hitting new all-time highs or in free-fall mode, opportunities abound. So why are so many potential investors still sitting on the sidelines? In a new season of my podcast, I'm going to get you in the game. After 38 years on Wall Street, I'm ready to impart some lessons and get you invested in the greatest wealth-generating machine in history. Listen anytime, everywhere at foxbusinesspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.